Hi, I'm Craig Freeman, and welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. The positive benefits of music in the mind have been well documented. Music can evoke memories from the deepest recesses of our mind, it can help us to become better communicators, and has even been used to reduce seizures. These are without a doubt incredible benefits, but personally, I think one of the greatest benefits of music is fun. When we're young, music is introduced to us to be fun. My guests today are active in sharing the joy and fun of music with children and their families. I'd like to welcome Paul Bauer and Katrina Davidson to the studio today. Together, they are a duo and they perform classroom music and fun concerts all throughout Southwest Michigan. And they are Small Sounds. Welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It, guys.
Thanks for having us, Craig.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We'll get to some music pretty quickly here, but just a little bit of background on both of you. Paul, maybe we can start with you. How did you get into music and what prompted you to start this journey in performing children's music?
Well, my love of music started when I was a little kid, going through my parents' records, just finding things that I thought the covers looked really cool, so I would just put them on or just listen to those. But as far as playing music, I didn't start till about 11 when I got into drums, and I just wanted to be a rock and roll drummer when I grew up. And, you know, rock star on the stage, but slowly just kind of, I don't know, this kids music thing just kind of happened naturally. I was working as a preschool teacher. I've always been obsessed with jingles, so I just think it really fits pretty well for me with that kind of playful attitude and really short songs for my short attention span, so.
Spoken like a true percussionist.
Yeah, exactly.
Katrina, what's your history and background with music?
So I grew up in a family full of musicians. We would spend a lot of time around the piano. I have two other sisters, and so my mom would play piano, and we would sing a lot of Broadway tunes, a lot of old-timey 1950s tunes. And my father plays guitar, so pretty much all our family gatherings have incorporate music. And
that's great.
Long history with music.
That's good. If you could introduce your first tune and take it away.
We'll start with an oldie but a goodie. This is off our first record, and this honestly wouldn't have been started without, I should give props to our good friend Neil Furstenlight, a.k.a. Mr. Singer, a.k.a. Electric Neil from Chicago, who kind of got this whole ball rolling for us. But this song's called Hey Alligator.
Way down yonder in the sticky swamp, live a mean alligator that loved to chomp. He swim all day just looking for food. And if you're not careful, he might eat you. Hey, alligator.
Hey, alligator.
I'm not yours to eat.
I'm not yours to eat.
Green alligator.
Green alligator.
I'm not your treat.
I'm not your treat.
I say, hey, alligator, just leave me alone. Everybody pile into the boat. You better hope that we stay afloat. Better not fall overboard, or you may not make it back to shore. Hey, alligator.
Hey, alligator.
I'm not yours to eat.
I'm not yours to eat.
Green alligator.
Green alligator.
I'm not your treat. I gotta eat too. I might eat her, I might eat you. He says, hey, you with the alligator purse, take it personally when I eat you first. Here I come, sweet plump one. Hey, alligator.
Hey, alligator.
I'm not yours to eat.
I'm not yours to eat.
Green alligator.
I'm not your treat.
Hey, alligator, just leave me alone. Hey, alligator, just leave me Hey, alligator, just leave me alone.
All right. If you're just joining us, welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. We're here in the WMUK Takeda studio with Paul Bauer and Katrina Davidson. Together, they are Small Sounds, and they perform music for children. And we just heard "Hey Alligator," nice little tune. So, about the songwriting process, you said you credited one of your friends to that. What goes into writing a tune for children? Like, is it different? Do you approach it differently than writing, I guess, a non-children's song? I'm not sure how I would classify that, but could you tell me a little bit about the writing process and what goes into that?
It is really a process. Kind of it starts off as a weird humming or melody or rhythm on my iPhone, and then I'll revisit it later, try to figure out what I was trying to convey, and just kind of go from there. And I'll usually hear orchestrations in my head a little bit, or maybe I don't. I'll come back to things months later and realize, oh yeah, I should do something with that. But really, I think it just, not to think too much about it and just kind of go for it. I mean, I'm just trying to write music that I think is fun and isn't just quote unquote kids music. It can be rock and roll, but it's all about the content, I guess. You know, we just have songs about robots, but I like to think the music underneath it is, could be on par with something you'd hear in like a club or something. It just, instead of being about something else, it's about a robot who loves to dance or an alligator who's swimming through the swamp.
Telling stories. Yeah. And sometimes we'll write songs in the car. So it's like whenever we have downtime, like he said, sometimes it'll start as like a hum or like a phrase or a word or an idea. And we'll just be like singing around the house and then maybe record it if we like it. And then I think we wrote one song recently on a car ride out to see my sister in Minneapolis. So it was like 8 hours on the road. So he was driving and kind of singing and humming, and then I was like jotting down lyrics.
Yeah, I'm sure you had plenty of time to think something up there. So it seems like Paul, as far as your process is concerned, you're not really dedicated to the idea of creating music just for children. You want to just create good songs or good tuneful music.
Yeah, because I want to, if I'm going to be playing it and we're going to be performing it, I would like it to be something that I'm not going to get tired of playing or has enough, longevity and substance that I want to enjoy playing it too. It's not overly candy corn or anything like that.
Yeah.
Too sugary, but
hard kids music.
Created a new category.
Rockin'.
Yeah. I just come from a more rock and roll background and listening to lots of different stuff. I just like to think that with kids music, as an adult, people always ask you, well, what's your band about? You have to say, oh, we're funk or we're rock or we're something like this. With kids music, I feel that you don't have to fit into any sort of pigeonhole. You don't have to be a genre. Yeah. On our album, we'll have an electronic song, then a bluegrass tune, or there'll be, like a punk rock inspired song. I mean, it's fun to just run the gamut. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was obsessed with jingles and all sorts of different music growing up. And it's fun to kind of put all these jingle ideas and weird stuff into something that, kids can enjoy and I can enjoy and we can enjoy performing.
That's good. I think that allows you to be free to accept whatever comes to your mind. And
yeah, it's just looking at the world around you in a different way too. And just thinking, like I said before, doesn't have to be what you always think it is. Yeah. So my opinion.
But I would add that after you get that initial idea, you do get into kind of like a rhythm, not really a rhythm, but kind of a method of laying down your tracks.
Yeah.
Like I've watched you kind of, depending on where the idea starts, generally you're laying down the rhythm first and then we're adding lyrics over it. So when we get to that point and then knowing how far to go with kind of the demo and when is it really ready for recording in the studio. When we get to that part, I would say there's a little bit more of a kind of a structure. But
yeah, Katrina is really vital in helping me with my
organization
and also with figuring out my melodies. I'm not the world's greatest singer and I'll be the first to admit it, but so I'll have an idea and maybe I'm singing it, but it's not quite, I hear it in my head and then she can take what I'm doing and she'll go to the piano and she can figure it out a little better and smooth out the edges of what I'm trying to figure out too. So It's a good team.
That's so good.
And just to be clear, you are husband and wife. So
yes. We are.
Yeah.
Yes.
That creates a good dynamic, right? You know each other so well, and I'm sure that can be a good thing and a bad thing sometimes.
It can, because you can also be really honest with each other and
and have to be raw.
Yeah.
And open.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you gave such a great intro to the Possum Tune. I think it would be a good time to hear that.
All right. Well, this is going to be on the upcoming album that we've been working on for a while. Yeah, it's just called, tentatively titled, My Pet Possum. So
can I just add something here? I don't sing on this song, but I have a very vital role to play in live performances. Mm-hmm. And that's, I have a little possum puppet that
right,
I dance around stage and the kids go wild.
I should have brought the puppet
so
today.
So if I, jump around stage and kind of hide it behind Paul's head or behind a speaker or the microphone and they lose their minds for it. They love
it's
it.
True.
So you won't get to hear that today. Right. But
see that? You hear that possum? Just use your imagination on that part.
Awesome.
So yeah, this is one we wrote in the car when a little possum ran out in front of us. And I'd like to add, we avoided it. It was safe as far as we could see.
Well, I've been sad since yesterday, 'cause my pet possum, he ran away. Well, I've been searching high and low. Where did that pesky possum go? I've been sad since yesterday. My pet possum, he ran away. I've been searching high and low. Where did that pesky possum go? Well, I checked a hollow log. In there sat a fat bullfrog. Did a possum come this way? No, sir, ain't seen a possum today. Well, I checked the chicken coop. I learned quick that I'd been duped. The old hens began to cluck. Sar, hun, you're out of luck. Wandered through the rows of corn to Mr. Horse in the big red barn. Excuse me, sir, have you seen my friend?
Nay, not today, check the pen.
Well, them pigs were having fun, rolling round in the mud. No possum in sight, day was turning into night. The stairs, I could not believe my ears, snoring loud and playing dead, that a possum was a napping in my bed. Swing your possum round and round, now swing your possum to the ground, now swing your possum to and fro. Well, swing your possum, let it go. And that's that silly song.
If you're just joining us, this is Weekend Let's Hear It. We're live in the WMUK Takeda studio with Paul Bauer and Katrina Davidson. And together they are Small Sounds. They played children's concerts. And that was the possum song?
My Pet Possum.
My Pet Possum. That was awesome. I can just imagine a sea of kids jumping up and down and going crazy. Could you describe what a typical show experience is like?
Typical. There's not really.
Someone pee their pants one time. They had so much fun.
I thought someone spilled water.
We're like, yes, we killed that performance.
And it turned out a little girl. Yeah, she had so much fun.
A dingy bar.
Wet herself. Yeah.
So do you? You play a lot of variety of concerts. So are you doing, I know there's the Crybaby concert series. What types of shows do you typically do? And could you describe your typical audience?
Gotcha. Typical audience is usually around at the youngest end that can kind of really get it and have a lot of fun is age 3 and a half, probably up to, you know, generally 5 or 6. But we're finding that even some older kids have really gotten into it. Some of those too cool for school 10 and 11 year olds have been even known to be joining into. And you know how it is, you know, yeah. You're going to be in sixth grade soon. You're too cool for this kind of music. So, but it's fun to see them get into it. But usually preschool, early L is about the target for a lot of it. So
speaking of performing, it reminded me, this question is for Katrina, since you're the expert puppeteer for the last tune. How do you work to engage your audiences at these concerts and involve them in the process of music making? Because your music is like undoubtedly just fun, and you're not performing to, you know, a crowd of people sitting in their seats quietly, like I imagine.
No, we encourage a lot of participation.
Yeah, some like movement and participation, I feel like would be a big part of what you do. And how do you do that? Or what's it like for you?
Yeah, so the possum song is a good example. So I'll put the little possum puppet on my hand and kind of run around and let them pet the possum kind of while the performance is going on. One kid grabbed it, my hand, because he was trying to catch the possum.
Oh, naturally.
So things like that. But a lot of the songs, we kind of have little, I have little hand motions I'll do, and I'll kind of point out to them when it's their turn. We do a little bit of call and response. Actually, we have quite a few songs that do mm-hmm. that. So we didn't do it in the studio, but a lot of times before we do a song like Hey Alligator, Paul will kind of call out, here's what it's going to be. I'm going to say this, and then follow Miss Katrina, and she's going to, you want to sing with her and respond and sing along. Yeah. And so I'll do kind of model what they're supposed to say, and then I'll have a little motion, like a finger wagging motion, like, hey, alligator, leave me, don't bother me.
And, yeah.
So
that's great. Like that. It almost feels like a sneaky classroom lesson.
It is.
Kind of, yeah. And it's any sort of action that'll keep them from crowding you. Sometimes you'll get, if you're not on a stage, there are zero boundaries a lot of the time.
Yeah, they will just. They're always rushing.
They will be around you. This is the most calm performance you've ever had.
Yeah. That is another thing I'll do during performances. He definitely is the center and like leading the whole performance. So I'll kind of do stage control and kind of gently lead kids back to
follow me back
the
this
main
way.
Area, yeah. You know, because they'll like get completely behind us and start turning knobs on the.
And that all depends on the show too. So.
Yeah, sometimes.
So when you expand into a 4-piece band, how many?
5-piece usually. Yeah, we'll have a drummer, so that takes some of the pressure off of me to be playing rhythm and guitar at the same time. We've got another guitarist to handle other lead lines, and I'll do more rhythm and strumming. I had a bass player, and then I'll have Katrina on vocals and me. And that frees me up to kind of interact even more and walk away from where I'm tethered to a bass drum perhaps or something. When it's just a duo performance, I can kind of get out and move around more and jump around and dance. So it makes it a lot more fun for me too, and just takes a lot of pressure off.
Do you change the arrangements at all to make them a little more lush, maybe?
Well, actually, we've changed the arrangements for this particular thing. Usually the arrangements on the album are full band, you know, full recordings, horns, violins, on some of them, cello, piano parts. So for this, actually, this is a pretty stripped down version. This is probably the most stripped down I've played for these songs. So that was a bit of a challenge. So
small sounds.
The initial
unplugged.
Writing is like a lot of, small sounds, with full orchestration. So, so like when on the album, it's, you know, full rock songs if it calls for it, guitars, bass, drums, the full thing. That's what
I'll do my own harmonies.
Yeah,
for
she'll do harmonies with herself. And
she really can create.
So I'm like a little doo-wop group in the background on some songs on the recordings. Yeah.
You create a little landscape then.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Nice. I've had the privilege of teaching with you on a couple times, and you just have this, I don't know, there's kind of this force.
Oh, I don't know.
Kids are just kind of gravitated towards you in a good way, and you're always just the cool guy to get along with. And I don't know if it's
well,
the percussion, the percussion vibe, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just I wondered if that's something that that you had to work on? I know for me, teaching middle school, it was just it was always a challenge to connect sometimes, and I think I was maybe just a little bit too formal sometimes. I can be guilty of that.
Yeah, but, for sure. I mean,
Does the laid back percussion thing lend itself well to
maybe
connecting,
I don't know,
with kids?
I mean, I like to think I'm pretty laid back, but when it comes to music and learning, I can probably be pretty strict with, as far as, I just have a lot of expectations for students, especially private students who are there and, you know, paying money weekly to be there. You know, there's certain expectation, and while it's fun, you know, don't take yourself too seriously, but take the work seriously. I don't know if that's, someone said that smarter than me, but so I kind of like to be that, you know, music, like you said before, music should be fun and learning an instrument should be fun, but with it, you can't just, you know, it'll only last so long just beating on your drums in the basement for, you know, without any direction or anything like that. It only gets you so far.
Yeah.
If you want to take it out of the garage or the basement or to the next level. But I do enjoy teaching, and as a preschool teacher, it was fun. And
did that kind of seed a lot of your ideas for small sounds?
Kind of, yeah, because the kids would just say the wackiest stuff, like, that's a good idea for a song, or you're just around all of that energy and all of that imagination all day, you know. It's just, times it's overwhelming, you know, in a good way, in a bad way, but yeah, it keeps you, like I was saying before, it just keeps you connected to that youthful wonder of kind of everything, and hopefully I'm trying my best to reconvey that via songs, you know, and capture that imagination, maybe even for adults too, maybe they want to get in touch with their, you know, that wonder again, or the being a kid, so.
Yeah, that's a noble cause. I like that. Well, why don't we play another tune?
Cool.
Would you like to introduce your next tune?
Yeah, this one's called Life on the Seven Seas. This is another one that's going to be coming up on the album. This one, again, has more instrumentation to it on the album, but we'll do it live. And this one has a good call and response, too. So if you want to repeat after me during this one, Craig, feel more than welcome to. There's a moment. We'll give it a nod.
Okay.
All right. No pressure. Life on the Seven Seas.
We spit while we chew, we've got scurvy from neck to our toes. Hooks for hands and pegs for legs, and even a peg for a nose. Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, life on the seven seas.
Our skin like leather is worn by the weather, the salty sea and the sun. Tis not better than buried treasure, doubloons for everyone. Whoa-ho!
Yo-ho, yo-ho, me heart is yo-ho, fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, life on the seven seas.
Repeat after me if ye be brave enough. We are pirates.
We are pirates.
We do as we please.
We do as we please.
Now load the cannons.
Load the cannons.
With pickles and cheese.
With pickles and cheese.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Life on the seven seas.
Repeat after me once more. Walk the plank.
Walk the plank.
Davy Jones Locker.
Davy Jones Locker.
Clear the deck.
Clear the deck.
For a game of soccer.
For a game of soccer.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Life on the seven seas.
Everyone, yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
If you're just joining us, welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. We're in the WMUK Takeda studio with Paul Bauer, Katrina Davidson of Small Sounds, and featuring me, Craig Freeman, on vocals for the Pirate Talk. What was the name of that tune?
Life on the Seven Seas.
Life on the Seven Seas.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. My cheeks are starting to get sore from smiling so much.
That's good to hear.
This is good. So that tune, that's a great example of like how you use audience participation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I missed my cue the first time.
That's okay.
And it made me think.
You get there eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you react to in live performances when people are into it versus when people are not into it? Like, have you had gigs where people are like, okay, what's going on here?
Well, our first gig literally had zero people at
it.
Yeah,
that
so
was
that
cool.
was we just played for the for the
we
wait
forgot
staff.
To tell people we were yeah. doing.
We assumed there was like a built-in crowd and all this stuff, and there's literally zero people.
Honestly, I can't think of any shows.
Yeah, most of the time,
I really can't think of anywhere. No one.
That's good.
Really, jumping around.
The only time maybe people aren't jumping around, or if it's less participation, is if the kids literally can't
like
stand
babies.
Or walk.
Sometimes,
and like,
you know, and the babies
or,
will enjoy it, but they'll just suck on an egg.
Or
and
if they're two or three.
Stare. Yeah, but even then, I think they're interacting. You know,
that's good. Well, that's what you want.
Yeah,
it's a great track record.
But mostly, if it's like they're four or five, or you know that age that they're usually ready to go and bouncing off the walls. Yeah. So the tough part is sometimes getting parents to get up and participate. They're the tough ones.
Yeah.
I think so we
call them out on
call
it.
Them out. Call them out on it.
Get involved.
Yeah. Get involved a little bit. So that's actually the tough one. We're still trying to nail that down a little bit. We've seen people that are really good at doing that. So just with time and just playing more and people just tough to get out of your shell too when you're older. They think, oh, it's time for me to just I can chill now and relax while my which makes sense too, where you know
you need a break
they
sometimes.
Need a break from you know we only get these kids for you know 45 minutes to an hour, so that energy goes back home with all the parents. We get them riled up and we ramped. Ship them back off. Yeah so
well, I can tell you the both of you are really engaging, and it's probably a little foreign and weird to be in this setting performing this kind of music.
I just look at you, Craig. At you.
Katrina said, is there a way we can get some kids in the studio to just hang around? And but so it is a little different. So you're used to seeing
just
all these
crazy energy.
A lot of extra noise going on. It's eerily quiet in here, but that's nice too. So
if people want to find out more about Small Sounds, Paul, how could they do that?
Well, they could go to smallsounds.co for a website. There's also Instagram at Small Sounds Kids Music and Facebook at Small Sounds Kids Music. And there's other projects that I'm involved with too, such as Kids in Tune, who I teach for, which is a great program here in Kalamazoo, which is a symphonic immersion program. Also teach for Crescendo, and we have concerts as well through that and things you can check out. So
that's wonderful. Well, I'd like to thank the both of you for coming in today. Thank you, Katrina. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Craig.
Yeah. And thanks to Martin Clem, our sound engineer extraordinaire.
Thanks, Martin.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Craig Freeman's studio features for Weekend Let's Hear It are made possible in part by a grant from the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation. You can find the full session with Small Sounds and many other features online at our website, wmuk.org. This is Weekend Let's Hear It. Have a great weekend.